Rise and welcome to this pulpit, Pastor Randy Miller.
Oh, so quickly you've stopped. What was it you said? Protection. Wait a minute. Give me a moment. See, I've been listening. Oh, turn my mic on. Would that help? I am on. What do we know? You know. What? Yeah. Well, when you're as old as we are. I made some notes. Lanny claims it's a security blanket. You'll get that in a second. Some of you are glad I made notes. Others don't care. We have had a great time this weekend. Right, guys? Yeah. Amen. All right. I was just thinking a few moments ago, having gotten to know Sean a little bit. Now, this is twice you've been mentioned, brother. All right. One about cooking. But this, one of those songs, Peter, where are you? One of those songs that we just did a few moments ago needed a little Jamaican drums going with it. You know what I'm saying? It just, I don't know if you can do that and cook. But wow, you know, it's got to have some punch to it, you know. It was so good. So good. I want to recognize something I sense. That there is a difference here. The worship that was happening today, the praise that was happening today, there is something stirring in it, and thus stirring in you. Voices lifted up, voices praising, voices worshiping. There is a sense of adoration. Not that you haven't done that before, but there was a difference today. You know, sometimes you can put your finger on it, other times you can't. You just know it's there. You just know it's there. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I grew up around cattle, and cattle are really strange. They go to the same place all the time, and they finally wear out a path to the place that they go regularly. So these guys who have been at the retreat probably have a path worn out already in their Bibles to Philippians 4 because we've been there a bunch of times this weekend. But I'm going to go to Philippians 4 today for a little bit of a different reason. There's going to be a merging between what the Lord has asked of me to say to you today and what's been being said throughout the weekend. I had the great privilege of getting to know better a number of guys this weekend. Some certainly meeting for the first time. Other faces that I've seen often, getting to know them a little bit better and hearing their heart. So it just was a tremendous privilege to be with you. And I, again, want to thank your pastor for the invitation. He certainly was stretching me in the environment, calling on me to be a part of what was happening this weekend. He is just so intentional about so much stuff. And he did it intentionally. For you and for me, and I want to recognize that and thank you for having drawn me in and given me the opportunity to express a giftedness that the Lord has given me. It invigorates me. I was worn out. Went straight to the room at the Hilton and went straight to bed and slept 2-3 hours, whatever it was. So you wore me out. But when I awakened and on the way to the hotel, I just couldn't wait to be here again today. And we spent some time together last evening also with his wife, Patty, and such a great, I'm going to tell this. When I got to the restaurant, she was there. He wasn't there yet. So we were sitting outside. And so there was a question she had asked, was there a single guy that had come in to the restaurant? So those of you who know, she was talking about me, but I'm no longer single, all right? Having gotten married last December, and certainly Lanny was part of that ceremony in bringing my wife Patty and I together. And I want to extend to you her greeting, because I told her, of course, about the weekend and was talking with her, texting back and forth this morning. And she wanted me to tell you that she extends her welcome and greeting and her love. So we are glad you are in our lives as well. And thank you so much for the way you greeted her when she was here. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. The title of today's message is The Gift of a Compliment. The Gift of a Compliment. And if you are already at Philippians, just look along with me. I want to juxtapose two ideas before we begin to read. You can be a negative person or you can be a positive person. Can't you agree? Either one. You can be either one in a given moment. You can be negative or you can be positive. Sometimes in the work environment that I'm in, I hear negative people because they have a negative spirit. And generally what comes out of their mouths is negative. I know other positive people, and almost always what comes out of them is positive. So as we look at Philippians, we're going to see the positive that Paul is going to instruct us in how to think. So he says this in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when you're around your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, other family members, people at work, what do you think about in relationship to those people? I want to add, if I might, one small, I want to plus what he told you just a few moments ago about those cards. When you, or if you are saying thank you, you might also find a way to give away a compliment. I noticed your smile. I noticed the way you handled that situation. Maybe there was a tough customer ahead of you in line, and the clerk handled them in such a way that was positive versus negative. And when you get to the clerk, you can thank them and offer a compliment of, I so appreciate seeing someone deal with a tough situation in such a positive way. Thank you so much for doing that. And by the way, our Father's house. Think about how you relate to people around you. When you think about them, do you think about what is noble in their life? What is uplifting? Whatever is right or pure, rather than what is wrong and not. Even those who are most difficult for you, when you think of them, do you think of them in challenging ways? Or do you think of them in these ways? Don't put this on the web, okay? Because I have a guy at work that is a tough nut to crack. I don't want to look for positive things that I could compliment. And sometimes, to be very honest, it's really hard. It's really tough. But the way I saw him work with one customer, which I thought might have been negative, or the way he answers a phone, which might have been negative, I tried to find something that was positive. And throughout the day, I required it of myself to start looking for the positive. So I started looking, and I would find little ways to speak positive things to him. Now I have another person who is very negative toward him, but positive toward others. And the other day, I found myself changing toward him. Because when she, the normally positive but negative toward him person, said something negative about him to me, I went into defense mode. Suddenly, I wanted to defend him because the Lord had been doing something in me to think of him in a positive way. So suddenly, my attitude toward him had begun to change. I'm not saying it was easy, but I'm saying it's something that the Lord called on me to begin to think about rather than follow the stream of negative thinking. And I was reminded of this passage. What am I thinking about? His mom recently passed. So in the he found out while I and he and one other guy, we were standing together in the store, his phone rang and he went and got it. Normally he would not answer a phone call in the store, but he saw it was his sister calling him and he looked at me and he said, "This can't be good news." And so I said, "Take the call." Was no one else in the store, just us. So he took the call and then he sat down in a chair and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sweetheart." And I knew in a moment that his mom had passed. So in that environment, we began as a group, we began to offer comfort and offer our heart to him. And I saw that people around him didn't always think of him in the negative. Their whole attitude toward him began to change. But as I thought about that later in the day, and certainly the next day and the weekend as he was gone, I thought, why aren't we and why haven't I been like that outside of a difficult situation like that? Suddenly we wanted to offer comfort. So why not be that way all the time? So I'm giving you an illustration because I want you to begin to think about this. How are you toward your wife, your husband, toward your children? Fathers often, we and parents in general, we are often seeing and disciplining the negative, things that children aren't doing. And something someone said to me many, many years ago is think of a scale. And on that scale, how many negatives have you put today on the scale? How many corrections have you made on the scale? Did you at least balance it with the positives? Encouragement, direction that is positive, a smile given to a child. No matter how old or young they are, how are you communicating to them? Have you at least balanced the scale? Now, I'm not talking about just flowery, "Oh, you did a good job. Oh, you did a good job." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sincere recognition of choices that children make. I learned some years ago when learning how to give a compliment, I learned that I can't compliment you. I can't compliment you on the color of your eyes. You didn't have anything to do with the color of your eyes. Unless you wear contacts and color your eyes. You didn't do that. I can't compliment because you're short or tall. I can't do that. You had nothing to do with that. So you choose to compliment based on the choices that people make, the attitudes that people have, the way people communicate because they choose to communicate in a particular way. I want to stop here just for a moment as we're processing this, and I want to offer this, that this weekend I had the opportunity to hear men and see more into their hearts. And this is my first time being away from my new bride. And everyone went, "Oh, I know, I'm on the way back home." If I get a little mushy, you know, if my brain goes out of gear, I'll have to get it back in gear because, you know, I haven't left yet, but I'm on my way home. In fact, normally we have lunch following this service. We cut that out. I'm leaving here. I'm going home. Left on Thursday. She left Thursday morning to go to work, and I left on Thursday a little bit later in the day to get here. And so I haven't seen her since then. Some of you have been deployed. You've been away. So what? So I've been given a hard time by some of these guys. Brandon started it. Oh, that was sweet. She reached over and petted him on the face. That was so sweet. So then we're getting texts. We're getting texts. We're texting. And so we started giving one another a hard time, and the other guys were giving us a hard time, or at least me. And so I found out that he has a sweetheart. Yeah, and he treats her that way. So we enjoyed a connection over something that was beginning, you know, it began as kind of a picking at one another and being funny, but at the core of it, we recognized that just sharing together that we have a sweetheart. And we enjoy that. So I want to tell you, thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate the fact that you let me into the fact that you love your wife and that she is your sweetheart. Thank you for that. I was thinking about Bill. Where are you, Bill? I lost you here for a second. Is Bill? Yes, thanks. Okay. Bill came from he and I are drummers. We got a thing, you know what I'm saying? So, Bill, when I gave the guys a challenge to write out a list of 20 things that the Lord was speaking to them, and we were going to refine that even more, Bill continued to pursue what the Lord was saying to him. And once we broke away from the session, he went down to the dock and he continued to allow the Lord to speak and even add to and refine more what he understood the Lord to be saying. He gained even a greater and greater understanding of that. And not only do I appreciate, Bill, the fact that you did that, but I appreciate the fact that you chose to share that with us. Because for others, it challenges us to not just say, we're in the middle of a project, we've got to do this, the leader's requiring it of us, I'm here, got to get it done, make my list of 20 or whatever it was. He understood the reason it was happening. And he went away and continued to listen for God to speak into his spirit. So Bill, I compliment you for your pursuit of the voice of God in your life. And thank you for letting us know. Now, George is like a big teddy bear. George and I talked on the phone just a few times, and the arrangements for the event that was going to be taking place and getting schedules and that sort of thing. And we conversed a couple of times. But when I drove up to the site the other day, George was sitting there eating a chicken basket on a park bench. But you know what he was really doing? He was watching the glory of a sunset. And it didn't last just for that moment. Because a little bit later the next day, the water was ripply. The night before when we arrived on Thursday, the water was nearly flat like a mirror. And when you looked out across the water, this reflection extended across the water. It was absolutely gorgeous. He was there receiving God's glory and enjoying a chicken basket. The next day, yeah, what a guy. The next day, the water was ripply, and you couldn't quite see the reflection like he had the day before. But he shared his insights from the day before and allowed me and a few of us around him to enjoy what was happening. George, thank you. Thank you for letting us into that moment with you. He could have just left it where he was sitting at a table eating chicken. But there was much, much more to the man than that. And guys, what happened this weekend would not have happened like it happened without his direction, without his coordination. So I compliment you and thank you for what you did. Where's Kenny? Is Kenny in here? Where? Sound! I can't see you. You're so bright up there, Kenny. I saw his tears. I saw a man who's a man of strength, but not afraid to let his tears go. I once heard it said years ago that one of the greatest gifts a person can give you is their tears. Because they trust you to let out the feelings, the emotions that are inside. He didn't choose to keep it back. He chose to let it go. And there was one moment when we were nearly at the close of the weekend. And Kenny was standing in a small prayer group that I entered into. And the tears were coming down his cheeks. And he opened the window of his heart to let us look in. Kenny, thank you. Thank you for trusting us. And I compliment you for the strength to be who you are and to let us see it. Thank you. Now there's one guy, he was up here earlier, Russ. Russ got me. Oh, now see, not only am I newly married, but I'm about to be a grandfather. Matter of fact, I turned my phone off so I wouldn't be distracted, that if it began to buzz, I'd run down and see if it was Ainsley telling me that Declan has arrived. Because it could happen anytime. How many grandparents we have in the room? No, oh, I'm going to be among you in just a few short days. Russ got me. We were out walking. People were talking, playing ball, throwing a frisbee, whatever. Playing, what was that thing you were playing, Tim? Bocce ball? Yeah, bocce ball. Yeah, it's where people get as close as they can and other people try to knock their ball away. They were having fun. It was lots of fun. But as we walked away, Russ and I kind of connected and we were walking together toward the spiritual center where the meeting was going to take place a little bit later. And he started talking about how proud he is of his grandchildren and how he sees himself in their lives making a difference. Now, I had thought about being a grandfather. I had thought about some of the things that I thought I might be to my grandchildren. But suddenly, after talking with him, and even while I was talking with him as I was walking, I suddenly began to be excited about meeting Declan for the first time. And about the fact that Declan James Keller needs his grandfather in his life. And that I'm going to share a letter with you from my daughter Carrington. Some of you have met Carrington before. She's not the one that's pregnant, but it when I read this letter again, even this morning, I could barely contain my emotions and I couldn't even see the letter to read it. And I'm going to read it to you in a few moments. So Ainsley, her sister, is the one that's about to give me that first grandchild. But I realized, God willing, that Carrington will also do the same with her husband, Ryan. And my son, who's 32 and the oldest of the three, finally has a prospect in his life. And something hopefully will come of that in the near future. So not only was I thinking of one, but I began to think, because of you, of multiple grandchildren. Thank you for sharing with me. I so appreciate that. It made such a difference. Suddenly, I think I kind of changed a little. There was a little bit of a turning point for me in the weekend because I wasn't being just minister. I was being ministered to. Thank you. Thanks, Russ. And then this morning, I wish you could have seen him. He introduced me to two little boys back there. And I said to those two little ones, whether they get it or not, I said, you have no idea how proud your grandpa is of you. By the way, my kids have asked me, what do I want to be called? I have no idea what I want to be called. You know, I've been Dad and Randy, and I remember being Randy for a long time, and then I became Gavin's dad, and I completely lost my identity. And now I'm glad I'm Gavin's dad, and Ainsley's dad, and Carrington's dad, and soon to be Declan's grandpa, or whatever he calls me. I'm sure it will be some machination of something. You know how kids are. So when I think of you guys, I thought about the nature of this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble among you, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, the beautiful stuff that we saw from one another, the hearts that were opened to one another. Guys, if you missed being there for whatever reason, maybe it was just you decided not to go. When it happens again, you need to be among it. You need to be part of it. And I understand that men's ministry here has been launched in that you're having regular breakfasts. You need to be a part of it because these guys will hear your heart with no demands from you, but just to love you, accept you, and be a part of the nurture of your life. And I understand there's going to be a really good cook. So if you don't go for any other reason, go for the food. It's going to be great. It's probably something there like, what did you call it? A jerk omelet with jerk chicken or something? I don't know whether to go, or yuck. I'm not sure. No, you don't know either. I'm sure you're going to find out, though. One of those is going to be delivered to you. Some years ago, I heard something that has stuck with me for many years. And it has to do with the result of what we've just talked about. That when someone gives you a compliment, which, guys, I just did, but what you may not realize is I just gave you the gift of a compliment. That gift is a gift that you now own. You possess it. I gave it to you. I'm going to suggest this. Then in Exodus and in Numbers 28 and 29 respectively, there is a thing called the morning offering or sacrifice and the evening offering or sacrifice. And I've heard it said that when you receive something like a compliment, one of the great opportunities of the day is after your day has begun, you've had a moment with the Lord in the beginning of the day, and you come throughout the day and someone says to you, Russ, thank you. I compliment you because you are, or you have, or you did. And Russ receives the compliment that in the evening offering, he has a compliment to give to the Lord. Now, the book of Revelation, many of you will know this. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, there's a moment where this grand and glorious recognition of God on His throne. And in that moment, there is a time when the elders take their crowns from their heads. And the King James Version says it this way. It says they cast their crowns before Him. Another version says they lay or they place their crowns before Him. Now, I'm sure some wonderful theologian such as your pastor would be able to tell me all the various meanings of the stones in the crown and the authority given and represented in the crown, etc., etc. But you may not necessarily consider yourself as one of the elders wearing the crown. But I want to submit to you that when someone gives you a compliment, then give it to the Lord. When someone says thank you for something you've done, receive it and give it to the Lord. Now, fortunately, I haven't heard this weekend, so I don't know if this happens among you. But I've been around Christians who are so Christian and so religious that they can't accept a thank you without going, oh, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's all Jesus. Of course it's all Jesus. But when you say that to someone who is attempting to compliment you, what you're really saying is, no, don't give me that. I'm going to suggest to you, when someone gives it to you, you receive it graciously because you know at the end of the day and the evening offering that you're going to make, you're going to give it to the Lord. How can you give something to Him that you were unwilling to receive? Accept the compliment. Say thank you. Allow God's grace to go from you to them in receiving their gift. And then, in the evening offering of your day, give it to the Lord. I was busy this weekend, to be quite honest. I couldn't wait till the end of the day. My wheelbarrow would have been full. So throughout the day, as we would walk away from the center, someone would say something to me and give their appreciation or thanks. And I would try to quickly say, Lord, this is going to be too heavy for me to carry. I just want to give it away to you right now. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you that you've taught me to hear so that I could present in the way that others could hear as well. Give an opportunity for them to hear you. So as someone gives you a compliment, receive it with grace so that you can prepare to give it to the Lord. Now, some of you are familiar with the harvest principle, let's say, where when you plant, you reap. Understand? Yes? Okay. But have you ever considered this, that when you plant a seed of corn, you get far more than what you planted? Because on a stalk of corn, two, maybe three at best, cobs of corn will come and you will have a multiple of the thing that you planted. So if someone or anyone in the room doesn't have anything at the end of the day for an evening offering to give to the Lord because someone has complimented you, then it just tells you you need to plant more compliments. You need to do this and give it to others so that at the end of the next day, you'll have a compliment. And I can guarantee you this, based on God's Word, when you plant it, you're going to reap it. And as you reap, you will have a gift of a compliment to give to the Lord. Now watch what happens in Revelation chapter 3. Because you might think, well, now wait a minute. I want you to look and hear. You don't even have to turn there with me. I want you to hear what the elders have said. Day and night, they never stopped. This was those who were giving praise unto the Lord. They never stopped saying, holy and holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Whenever these living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and they worship who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and listen to what they say. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Now, some of us would couch that in terms of, well, that sounds like praise. But wouldn't you say the elders are complimenting Him for who He is and what He's done? And they recognize it? So they say to the King of Kings, to the Father of Fathers, this is who you are, and we recognize it. This is what you've done, and we recognize its glory. I want to close, as I said, with a letter that I hope I can read, and Lenny has promised to step in and rescue me if necessary. I hope it's not. Now, this could seem, as I read it, as self-promotion. I hope you don't receive it that way. I hope you receive it in the way that I receive it. At the wedding back in December last year, my three kids were sitting on the front row. When Patty came down the aisle, her father and her son, Jordan, who is now 15, walked her down the aisle. Lanny and I were standing up front. And ladies, you'll like this. Maybe even some of your romantic guys will like this. I want you to know something that I did. We would have loved to have a beach wedding, but we couldn't have a beach wedding. So, you know, it's a little chilly in December. So what I did is call my sister, who was living at the time in Charleston, South Carolina. I asked her if she could go collect some sand at the beach. So she did. She brought it to me. In the meantime, I had bought a small plastic children's sand pail. So Linda brings, my sister, brings the sand. I put it in the pail. I put a little scoop, you know, shovel in the pail with a little purple thingamabob. I'm not even sure what to call it. But purple is Patty's favorite color, so that's what I put in the pail. I put the pail in a, you know, one of those pretty bags you get at the bag store, party store, whatever. I put it in there. It said love in big letters. It was sitting to my right. We walked down the aisle. I warned him I was going to interrupt him when he first got started with the ceremony. So she joins me, she takes me by the arm. We're standing in front of Lanny. He begins. I stopped him and said, just a moment. Now, I had alerted her that there was going to be something special I was going to do. She had no idea what it was, and it was making her extremely nervous, which was my goal. So I stopped. As he was progressing, I stopped and I said, now, wait just a minute. I have something for you. And she looked at me with that, oh, my God, not now look, you know. And so I reach over in the bag where my sister was. I pull out the pail. I have the pail in my hand. And then I reached in and I said, since we could not go to the beach, I brought the beach to you. And I took my hand and threw sand all over the floor right where we were standing. And she said, you're going to ruin my makeup. And he was smiling back at us, you know? So the situation is set up now. We're at the altar. My sister's involved. My three kids are sitting to my right. And they, if you see the pictures, you can see their faces where they are celebrating and yet there are tears in some of their eyes. So you might misunderstand some of that unless you knew what I'm about to read from Carrington. We've talked a good bit this weekend, guys, about fatherhood and some other things that have come up along the way. So, I'll do my best to read this through. Everyone that has asked me if it is going to be weird to watch my dad get married this weekend has gotten the same response from me. If only you knew the healing and restoration that I feel and that I know my dad, brother, and sister feel because of what God has done, not only for my dad, but for the woman he is marrying. One can only imagine the range of emotions a baby daughter, which she is my youngest, feels when her daddy tells her for the first time about him dating someone and then falling in love with her and wanting to marry her and the proposal. But Dad, I can honestly tell you that the only emotions I stand here today feeling are joy, peace, and thankfulness, and every positive emotion that someone can feel watching you arrive here with Patty and your father. If roles can be reversed and a child can be proud of their parent, there is no other child more proud of you than I am. Now, by the way, when she set this up and she gave me this letter, her brother and sister, Gavin and Ainsley, both kind of collaborated in giving ideas and sort of approving what she had done. They were standing there as well while I read this out loud. This was after the ceremony and just before we left the room to go back to the reception. Even though you're in your darkest night and down your longest road, you never faltered from what you knew was true, and you stood firm on his promise that your ladder would be greater, that he was not finished with you yet, and that he is always faithful. And now an incredible woman stands before you in the fulfillment of those promises, and a young man is entrusted to you. God had to find some way for you to shape another generation. Gavin and I joked about telling Jordan, man, you have no idea. You have just scored the dad jackpot. Ha ha, obviously, we would never actually say that to him, but I know years down the road, he will look at you and think, wow, he was the dad he didn't have to be.
Yet I would probably say to Jordan, actually, he did have, in quotes, have to be, because, Dad, you don't know how to be anything but loving, patient, grace-giving, a child's biggest cheerleader, steadfast, and the best example for Jordan could ever that Jordan could ever have of his heavenly Father. I cannot actually or accurately express in words how excited I am for you and your new life together with Patty. She is truly beautiful inside and out, and it is clear that the Lord brought her straight to you to love you precisely the way He knew you needed, and you for her. Again, I am overjoyed by the definition of peace I see displaced through this day. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I love you with my whole heart. Your youngest, Carrington. In our Father's house. I read this to you because, as I said, not as a way to promote what is said in this letter, but to know that I'm humbled that I can give a gift of such an in this nature to my God and King who is at yet working in my life. Someone who loved me through those darkest hours and on those longest of roads has through that treated me as a son. Someone to encourage and love anyway, no matter what hurt came out of me, and to encourage me that, as she said, your ladder would be greater. He's not finished with you yet. Many years ago, I was doing a radio broadcast, and one of the guys that I was interviewing had a Jewish background. And he said that recently he had been in a Jewish bookstore in, I think it was the Gaithersburg or Rockville area, and he said he heard the son of the owner of the store at the front when he, the customer, asked the son a question about a book. The son called out to the man in the back, "Abba! Abba!" And the man turned and gave him his attention. For you and I, we read that in the New Testament. We think it's the old way to respond to someone or get their response. He didn't say that. This is in a contemporary bookstore. And a son cries out, "Abba." Or another way to say that would be with the affection of "Daddy" or "Dad." And he got his attention. And he came forward and answered the customer's question. My heart wants to cry out to my Father, "Abba, Abba, thank you for helping me to grow so that my children could say what she said." So I want to challenge you not just to be or to do things that are better, but to be this person that God has called you to be, whether it's father or mother. Maybe it's daughter and son. My dad is 99 years old. I would hope sometime to bring him so you can meet him. Ladies, be careful. He's a flirt. I would hope that in some way I can cry out to Abba Father. But I also want to say before you that I count it such a wonderful privilege to, among sons of the Father of this house, to be counted among you as one of those sons. And if I could, in some way, express my gratitude and appreciation for the fatherhood that you have offered me, I thank you. I count it such a wonderful privilege. And the stream, or river, I should say, And my opinion has only just begun. I want to thank you for your attention and hearing what the Lord may be whispering into your heart today. Believe me, if it's the clerk at the store or if it's your child, whoever you have the opportunity to give a compliment to, give it away. They may not yet know what to do with it, but they will receive it because you give it in grace. When you receive the compliment, at the end of the day, give it away. Let it go. Something comes to mind that the Lord is prompting me to read out of Philippians. It's the second chapter. He who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I wrote in my own margin here, the independent expression of his will. But he made himself nothing. And again I wrote, of no reputation. If fear keeps you from giving someone a compliment, if fear arrests you and stops you in that moment, don't let it win. Because the enemy is stealing from you. Because at the end of the day, you don't have the gift to give to God as an end of the day sacrifice. Then you can rest in peace for the evening. Let's bow. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you are doing. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity just to share your heart with these who are listening. Lord, I fully anticipate that there are lives that are going to be touched, because when we leave this place, we're going to go into the community and we're going to follow the precepts. We're going to become the person who compliments. We're going to become known as the person of grace who gives away these gifts of a compliment to others. And Lord, when it's time, when you start returning those compliments to us, we thank you for the privilege of being able to bring them to you and lay our crown of compliments before you and say thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. And everyone together said amen. Amen. Bless you.
I will presume you can do two things at once. One being make your checks out to our Father's house, and the other, listen. On the first leg of my return trip on Korean Airlines from Singapore, I said to the closest available flight attendant, I expressed to her my delight at having traveled on Korea Air coming and how I was looking forward to the return trip, because I found them to be the most excellent airline of the dozen or so I have flown around the world. And I said to her, I would like to have some way to express this in writing to the higher-ups. And so she supplied me the form, and I wrote a letter of commendation and encouragement to them, in my opinion, saying that they set the standard for air travel in the industry. Now, I could do that because it is routine for me to notice such things and to speak to them, whether it's a good manager, the service I receive from a waitress, the way I watch a clerk handle a difficult person. And it just, I have trained myself to do that, and it's a natural expression of who I am. Now, in contrast to this, I don't see enough people writing checks, so I'll just keep talking. In contrast to this, sometimes folks will come to me and they'll start out like this. Now, I don't want this to go to your head. Okay? as if they need to protect me from something I didn't have anything to do with to start with. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I'm inculcated in the understanding of the mess I was and the grace I represent, and I didn't have anything to do with that except keep saying, yes, Lord. So when Randy talks about this presentation of these things to the Lord, it's like you put that jewel in your crown and then you throw your crown before him. It's an easy process. Now, when you don't do that, the opportunity for self-importance and arrogance to overtake your attitude cuts off the supply of those responses because it's no longer genuine. Does that make sense to you? I suspect that some of us have been challenged today because we have some stinking thinking. And it shows up in the way we respond to people. If the Lord doesn't redirect me, I will be addressing that next week. And I'm already moving in that direction of my preparation. So if Ephesians shows up next week, I'm not copying Randy. But I actually have something to say to us about these things. Fellows, if you come, I'd like to receive the offering at this moment. Now, we're going to take a break, and there's refreshments out there. And for those of you who want to connect, we have connection groups. That is, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks. I've been trained to believe that over the years as I've stood and listened to people thank me for stuff I did not say in the message, thank me for a passage I did not read because it meant so much to them that day. Took me a while to understand God was speaking. So we believe that God speaks while you're listening. And on the little card that you got when you came in, it says, what'd you hear? So we're going to sit together and share, what did you hear? But it might be that today you also come to the place where you write down what I need to say to someone. Don't you find it personally encouraging when someone singles you out and affirms you for something? I remember attending a class experience with one of my children when he was in the third grade. And I was so struck by this teacher, I can't even remember her name now, but affirmation toward those children was like a nonstop fountain. It was just who she was. And you watch those little flowers just get up there and bloom, you know. Wherever she moved, they just kind of followed her like little ducklings because she was the most affirming person I think I have ever witnessed in a short period of time. And it was not a performance. It was who she was. It was her reputation, and children loved her. One of the reasons we bring our kids up here every week to bless them is because there's an absence of blessing in this world. And when I pray for them, I'm praying that God will strengthen their spirits, reveal himself to him, cause them to stand up on the inside, because out there, they're picked on in the playground, they're criticized on the school bus, they're mocked in the classroom, but in this house, they need to be affirmed and lifted up. So this is a way of life for us, and I hope you can hear it in the spirit in which it was given. Are we done collecting, fellas? Excellent. All right, would you please stand? Enjoy your refreshments. Connect with one another. We'll see you next week.